Well, good afternoon. It's great to be here today in general, and also to to share something from God's Word with you. We'll start off with a reading from 2 Kings in chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. And it's the NIV version I'm reading from, if the guys are going to put it on the computer. But today I'd just like us to think about a theme of just what we can see, or seeing things rather, and you'll soon sort of get that theme, I'm sure, from the passage as we read through it. So we'll just read there, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8, and it says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king, so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord the king,' said one of his officers. 'But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.' 'Go find out where he is,' the king ordered, 'so that I can send men and capture him.' The report came back, 'He is in Dothan.' Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night, surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'O my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Strike these people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, 'This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for.' And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see.' Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, 'Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?' 'Do not kill them,' he answered. 'Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master.' So they prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory." And we'd ask that God would bless us as we study his word today. And I'm sure you've sort of seen that theme coming out quite quickly in that passage of what you're seeing. And there was really two examples, I thought. The first one that we'll look at is Elisha's servant and how his eyes were opened. And the servant had been very, I would imagine he'd be very worried to wake up one morning, just a normal day. It doesn't say what he was getting up early for, but it was probably some sort of routine task that he did every day. And this day was different. There was this huge army had turned up overnight and without warning. And no doubt he would be worried about that. And he would be, no doubt, afraid. Elisha tells him, "Do not be afraid." So he must have been afraid of what would be happening. And he didn't really have a clue what they should do. He had no idea what they should do to get out of this situation. And quite often in our lives, we come across situations like that. We can be worried about things and afraid, and we don't know what to do. And I was thinking of an example from my own life. A few years back, I was coming towards the end of my studies at university, and I was looking for a job, and basically it was a bit of a worrying time. everyone kept on saying, oh, it'll be okay, you'll get something. But until you do, you always worry that it won't be the case. And then you start to think, what does the future hold? Would I have to move hundreds of miles away or whatever? And you don't really know what's the right thing to do. Do you do something like that or what? But I've got to say, in my case, God was very good to me. I was able to bring that before him and pray about the situation. And in that case, he was able to give me a job just up the road there, which was obviously, it was my number one choice at the time to work there. And I was very happy to be given that opportunity. And that was an example, not anything near as drastic as Elisha's servant, what he went through at all, nothing like that, but just a sort of everyday example of how we can soon become worried. And it is easy sometimes to lose perspective and to think that it might almost be impossible for the situation to have a good outcome. And I don't know if that's what happened to Elisha's servant, but sometimes we can spend a lot of time worrying about things, and there's perhaps things that we should worry about. But when we look back in years later, we think, oh, why did I bother, you know, worrying so much? After all, it all worked out fine. And often we sometimes wish that we could see things the way God sees them. Obviously, in this case, the servant's eyes were opened, and he was able to see what the full picture was, not just the small bit that he could see. And sometimes it's one of these things, what we're seeing, it looks pretty grim, but God has a plan, and it's not really all that bad when we see it from his point of view. But I was thinking about the way that God sees things. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how that God's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and of course we know that he created the world, and we know that throughout the Bible we hear about how God is separate from time. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's able, and we see in the Bible that there's many examples of times where God's revealed a bit of information that was later fulfilled, a bit of prophecy. And I was thinking of some examples of that. Possibly the best examples are of the life of the Lord Jesus. We think about how it was predicted or foretold that he would be a descendant of David, King David from the Bible. It was predicted or foretold that he'd be born in Bethlehem. And also it was foretold that he would die such a terrible death, such a suffering that he had on the cross. And all foretold that he would go through all this. And we don't really have time today to go through the many, many examples in the Bible of where something has been foretold and then it came to be. It's quite incredible, if you, and a study in itself, to look through the Bible and to see that all coming to play and coming to be. And I had a wee sort of silly illustration to sort of illustrate how God is able to do that. Hope you won't mind too much, but I was sort of imagining if you were sitting in your house and here, to your surprise, you're sitting down a bit back from the window and a parade was going past your front window in your house, and you look out and you see a clown walking by, and then you look away to do something else, and then all of a sudden you see a piper coming down. I suppose we might as well make it a Scottish parade after all. And he comes down, and then you see him, and you see him walking away, and then finally you see a big marching band, and it all comes in sequence, one after the other. And that's quite like how we experience time. We experience a day, and then we get the next day right after, and it all leads into the next week, and we keep going through time like that and seeing one thing after another. However, when we think of what God sees, he kind of sees the sort of aerial view. If we think about the parade, he would be looking down on it and able to look at the start and the finish and everything in between all at the one time. This isn't actually the map of an actual parade, but I thought it would be a good illustration. So just in case you're trying to figure out where it was and that, all that. But that's what God sees, and it is really different from us, and it can be quite hard to get our heads around it sometimes, but That's probably the best illustration I could give you today. But also we've got to be conscious of what way we see things and what influences the way we understand them. A good example is a football match, because sometimes we see what we want to see, and perhaps the best example of that is a football match where you've got two different supporters, they support different teams, and they go to the same match. And if you go and ask them afterwards what happened and get them to give an account of the game, one might say, oh, it was a great game, the other might say it was a terrible game. One might say that their team should have won, another team might, another supporter might say the opposite. And especially when it comes to certain incidents in the game, you sometimes get moments where someone will jump up and shout out, that should be a penalty, whereas the other supporter would say, oh, it definitely shouldn't be. And it can all be influenced by what team you support, what you think of each incident. And often you sometimes see people, they see one and they claim it to be a penalty for their team, but then if it happens the opposite way, it would never be a penalty. So that's kind of what I see quite a lot of, and I can even understand myself doing it sometimes, I have to be honest. And sometimes we do see what we want to see in life, and often we can compare ourselves to other people. And what we do tend to do is compare ourselves to people that don't really compare so well to us. If we are, say, average at doing a task or something like that, we'll tend to compare ourselves to someone who's not as good as us. Whereas we could really compare ourselves to someone who's an expert, but then we'd feel really bad about it. And often we do that as well about how we live our lives, what sort of person we are. And it's quite easy to compare yourself to someone who has not got much going for them, that they do all sorts of terrible things, possibly even if they're in jail for some sort of offence. And we feel that we're doing quite well and we're behaving really well and we're a good person. But what we really should be doing is comparing ourselves to God's standards and looking at the things the way he sees them. I'm sure we maybe all here today have heard of the Ten Commandments. I would hope that you have. But if we even take one of them, the commandment about lying and telling lies, I wouldn't want to go around you all and ask you individually, but I'm sure everyone here has at some point done that. And thinking about that verse, it ties in perfectly that the children were getting given. We have all fallen short of God's standards. We have all sinned. And there's nothing more that can be said, really. That's the way God sees things, and that's the way he sees us. We have fallen short. But the good news is that, as we were talking about, the Lord Jesus came to this earth as it was predicted. He came and he grew up and he lived a perfect life. And he didn't sin even once. There was no sin in him. And he went to the cross, as we were talking about. He died a painful death. He didn't deserve it, but he did it for us. And he died for our sins. Then he was buried and rose again on the third day. And was seen by many people. And that was witnessed by many people. And before returning to heaven again. And it's great to be able to tell you today that we can all have our sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus, and we can experience that in our life. It can change our lives, and we can have the hope of going to be with him in heaven one day, and we can really look forward to that, and it can change the way we live our lives. And I've been talking about how I had a couple of examples. Well, the first one was the servant, and sometimes you do get that moment where something clicks and you do see something differently, and you can certainly get that when you're reading the Bible, and a passage can really leap out to you. And the other type of example was the Aramean army, of course, and their eyes were closed for a short time. It was quite obvious they were led astray. They were taken from where they were supposed to be. They were given this military objective, this mission to accomplish. They were told to come get Elisha and to, I don't know if they were to kill him or to take him back to the king, but they were told to go get him. And what happened was, not only did they not do that, but they were led not only away from where they were supposed to be, but right into the stronghold of their enemies, to the capital city. And it was basically a disaster. As a mission goes, if you talk to soldiers, I don't think that could get any worse than that. And it was no doubt really embarrassing for them. And I suppose sometimes with the Scottish sense of humour, you can be reading passages like this and you start to laugh, just because God's obviously brought it about in such a way that they've been totally embarrassed. They've not accomplished what they were trying to do. They were trying to go and get God's prophet and stop him from doing what God wanted. But God protected him, and we see this way that he did it. It was really embarrassing to the people here, the Aramean army. And sometimes it can be a bit like us in our lives. Sometimes we can be led astray from the way that we should be going. And especially when you're a Christian, you've got to be very conscious of that. It's very easily able to happen. And it could be the case that it might not be a total disaster in the way that this was, but it could be really detrimental to you for that to happen. And I suppose it could be embarrassing too. And just as we sort of finish off, I have these sort of final thoughts, and some of them are quite personal, and you can maybe think about them yourself throughout the coming week. And it's sometimes hard to be honest in, you know, public or whatever, but you can maybe think about them in private. I've wrote there, whose voice are you listening to? In John chapter 10, it says about how the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd and how his sheep hear his voice. When you're a Christian, you really need to listen out for the voice of the Lord Jesus. And what better way to do that than reading your Bible and also praying and also coming to church like we have today and hearing what he has for us in life. If you're guided by him in life, you won't go far wrong, or wrong at all, even if you're faithfully following him. And it is important to think about whose voice you're listening to most in this world. Where will it lead you? Well, if you don't follow carefully and listen out to his voice, it's very easy to become unfruitful as a Christian. And I've been thinking a lot about John chapter 15, and I'll just read a couple of verses here. And it says in verse 4, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And it's sometimes just very simple things that can strike you. I was reading this a few weeks back. And it is important to remember that. We need to listen to the Lord Jesus' voice and stay close to him when we have put our trust in him. And he'll lead us to good things. Other people will benefit from what happens in our life. We'll be fruitful, and as opposed to being unfruitful. And it's an important point to bring up. What's your life built upon? Is it rock or sand? I'm sure we've maybe all heard the story of the wise builder and the foolish builder. One built on rock and one built on sand. And it's very easy to build your life on sand, on things that won't last. There's many people in the world today who have built their life around their family or their friends or anything like that, maybe even the style of clothes they wear, their lifestyle as well. And it's very easy to base your life upon that. But the only thing that will last when hard times come is if you've built your life on the solid rock that is the Lord Jesus. And it's always important to check to make sure that you are fully committed to that. It's something that's a challenge I feel. I've got to ask myself, how much am I depending on him each day? And I need to keep on doing that, to be honest with you. And finally, the last question I've put is, what direction is your life heading in? It's very easy to say to people that you're getting on fine, and just to give that sort of standard response. But sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves and think, well, I need to look at this issue, I need to look at that issue. If we think about when you're in the car, it's very easy to have a blind spot. and well, you do have a blind spot basically in your mirrors and everything, and sometimes you need to turn around and look in it, and sometimes it's very easy for us to get that in our lives. There's a blind spot that we sometimes need to actively look into and examine, and that's important to do that, and we really do need to focus on what God wants for us. And if there was anyone here today who hasn't put their trust in the Lord Jesus so far, I would urge you to put your trust in him. You won't regret it. And even if there's anyone listening to this online as well, you won't regret it. I can wholeheartedly recommend him to you. And if you base your life on him, you won't regret it, and you'll have that hope of heaven in the future. I'll just close in prayer just now, and then we'll have the end of the service there. Father God, we thank you so much that we can read your word and study it. We thank you that you are so faithful to Elisha. We thank you that you looked after him and protected him from this army that came to destroy him. And Father, we thank you that we can look to you in troubled times. We thank you that you will look after us and keep us safe, and that we know that we always have you, no matter what we're going through. We can always cling to the promises that you've given us in your word. Father, we would ask that you would help us to see things that you see, to see things the way that you see them when we come across sort of problems in life and issues that we need to make a decision on. Father, help us to see the right way, the way that you would want us to go. And Father, we would just ask that you would bless us in life, that we wouldn't be led astray by other things. We'd ask that you'd help us to listen out for you and to listen out for your voice in our life. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.